I'm just looking to ensure that the target groups, the person speak about target groups or target groups. Yeah. Because I see that wherever a person reads, a person sees targeted groups. And then the other thing, number five, to ensure compliance with international treaties that have a bearing. Is it a bearing on women? Because I think the AS left out there, ne? Is it not? It's a, all right, I have. To have bearing. To ensure compliance with international treaties. Oh, yes, it is correct. That have bearing. Yes. I think we have to look at that too. International, regional, and African treaties. Yes, international, African, and regional through the chairperson. So I'm not sure. Yes, please.
Does that refer to the AU, for example? Okay. And that's not international because it is within our own Africa. Okay.
That is. Just to clarify, if we go back to the first one, is the agreement that to hold the executive structures to account that are responsible? Option A, the suggestion from Sylvia was to hold accountable the executive structures. The first or the second one? It's two.
Sorry, could I just come back to what you originally suggested, Madam Chair? You wanted to change there to hold to account executive structures. You're right, it
does sound a little clumsy, but if we're going to change it, we would have to say to hold executive structures that are responsible for improving the lives of women, youth, children, disability, etc., to account vis-a-vis the Department for Women, Children, and Persons. I think, then you're just separating that. That does sound a little better. But you can't separate the structures that are responsible because that's the adjectival clause that goes with structures. So, yeah, if we want to change it, it would sound better if you put it over there.
So we'll just read again. To hold the executive structures that are responsible for improving the lives of women, youth, children, persons with disabilities to account vis-a-vis and then the rest.
Yeah.
And then on number five, to ensure the compliance with international and regional treaties. That have a B.
Number two, not target groups.
Yeah, it is actually an option, Chair. Mm. One can say targets is all target groups.
Chair person, I'm sorry to treat you back to the first one.
It's on. Okay. To take you back to the first one. What's the difference when we say to hold accountable executives? Is it the same? Does it have the same weight as we have it now? Okay. Okay. Thank you. questions. I'm thinking having outlined those, wouldn't it be appropriate to then look what activities would the committee be doing under each of those and what possible outputs? And further to that, how will we know that those things are achieved? Like three elements. One is what activities that one would need to engage in order to advance those broader objectives. What will be the outputs of those activities, and how will we know, like the KPIs?
I thought after dealing with this, we are then going to engage in what you are saying.
I just want to find out whether we can put this in. Because we have yet to initiate, monitor, implement, oversee legislation. I'm not sure will it be correct if we say to evaluate to there. Because sometimes when it comes to legislation, a person can monitor, but you have to evaluate it to see whether what is the impact on the community. And then the other thing, I'm asking the researchers will say whether that's correct or the rest of the meeting. And shouldn't we put in something for the committee, like you spoke earlier on? I don't know where it should come in, you know, when you were sitting at lunch. You spoke about the scorecard. You know, shouldn't this be within our mandate too? Or will that be implementation? Performance, yeah.
I think that is also adding to what you have said. How will we know whether, but should we put that in the mandate? We shouldn't.
And then the other question on evaluation. Because we have an IQ review.
Chair, now that Mrs. Malchus has raised this issue, it's just made me think about something slightly differently. To initiate and monitor, yes, but can we actually implement? Isn't it the department that implements? So don't we say to initiate, monitor, and evaluate implementation, and then oversee?
Yeah.
I say we to initiate, monitor, and evaluate implementation. Yeah, we don't do it.
So we say to initiate, monitor, and evaluate.
Yes. Implementation.
Initiate, monitor, evaluate, and remove implement.
To initiate, monitor, and evaluate implementation and oversee legislation.
Chairperson, just before we step off, I've spoken now to our researchers, but maybe I must mention it here. Seeing that we now know the difference, I mean that we now seek for the difference between the JMC and us, whether it's not possible for our researchers to maybe look at how the department under the presidency is in actual fact going to be different than the department in the ministry, if they are willing to look at that for us and give us a summary of what is actually going to be different. Then that would also give us a framework of knowing how exactly the ministry is now going to work, the department under the ministry, than that of the department under the presidency. And they actually agreed to that. But I just thought I'll raise it here as well.
from here, I think now, let's get back to what's her name?
Sylvia.
Sylvia, can you now repeat what you were saying?
Our friend,
which will be
having her life as the main objective, can then re-look into what activities will the committee need to undertake to drive those objectives. Yeah, we can do just that, then I will talk about the other two.
You have prepared something, haven't you? On activities. Yeah, let's look at that. Now together, I think let's try and link the activities. Let's link them to our mandate. Okay? Am I correct? Let's link the activities that we have in front of us. Let's link that to our mandate. Let's take the first one. It says, no, not that one. The one that will be taking place on the 19th. Briefing by the Department of Police, blah, 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 blah.
The 19th?
August. And then if you take that, the briefing by the Department of Police, and then... Oh, they don't have it yet. Let's wait then. Got it now? Yes.
Chairperson, at the risk of confusing members, there's one of two things that's in your pack. There's a draft program which looks only at 2009, and then there's the proposed themes which looks at 5 years. So my suggestion would be, let's rather start with 5 years before we look at the detail. So with the 5-year proposed themes, maybe ask, does it cover everything that we speak to in our mandate? And if not, then what is it that we need to change? Just for example, when we looked at the Select Committee and their draft program, one of the key things they were saying is, we don't want education to be dealt with so late, we want education to be dealt with in the next year. So maybe in terms of the mandate and 5 years, let's look at the proposed themes and say, well, does the proposed themes cover everything we want in the mandate and what needs to be changed there before we go into the detail?
Our mandates. Am I correct? If we take shelters, I'm just taking in one, shelters, child and youth care centers, that would fall under social development, am I correct? So,
I'm just looking at 2013. I'm looking at 2013 because you look at 2009, you got women in there. You have your children in because if you look at abuse and neglect, that is women too. That can be disability. But I'm just worried that we're leaving a lot when it comes to ministry machineries and government program of action. I'm just worried, why don't we have something for disability in here too? Because are all the frameworks and policies 2012. And we are supposed to do the policies and frameworks at the beginning. Because remember, when it comes to the national gender machinery, that policy on the empowerment of women and gender equality, it will have to be reviewed with a new ministry. So if we're not doing it 2009 at least we have to look at 2010, put it in there, if it's too soon. Because I think the disability policy will be reviewed. Not reviewed, I think we're going to have an act in place now too. Because I know 2013 sounds so far away to look at policies when policies should be at the beginning.
We should shift some of those activities that are in 2013.
Yeah, that's more to the front. Perhaps you can't do it 2009.
Maybe 2010.
Yeah, 2010 to
2011. Chair, okay. I think the idea there was just to say that, yes, we can do that because there are things that are going to be happening. I mean, there's going to be review and things. But to use 2013 as a review year, to say for the 5 years, what have we done and have things been implemented, have what needs to be evaluated, how have new legislation and things like that. So, yeah.
Do you agree with that one?
Yes, I agree.
Thank you. I just want to take up the point that Mr. Mark has made. I accept that we know we can have this review right at the end, but shouldn't there be something on disability in this year as well? I don't see that there in particular. I think it should be covered.
I think they meant all the groups.
Are they all included?
Yes, that is why they said socially vulnerable groups.
Okay.
So if Chair, I say that they say violence and social vulnerable groups, which means in that first section, they actually include all the vulnerable sectors that we talk, women, youth, people with disability, and children. It's quite, Not, if they talk about, Chairperson, abuse and neglect, it includes all women, people with, persons with disability, children as well as youth. That is how I read it. Okay. Trafficking, prostitution.
Thanks. I think the Honourable President has outlined the issue of poverty as one of our priorities to deal with poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking of moving this poverty and economic empowerment that's in 2011 to at least 2010 because we are just nearer to the end of 2009 to 2010. And I think it should also go further to 2011 and 2012. Should be history. Poverty should be history in our communities.
We remove the whole plan for 2011 and put it to 2010, or how do we do it?
Yeah, my proposal is that we move all the things in, all the items identified in 2011 to 2010, but I'm not quite sure, not for now.
But if you look at 2010, it has food security, which covers poverty. It has basic services, which covers poverty. It has child maintenance, which would cover poverty. And what else? There's access to health care and social services that would cover poverty as well. I don't know, but the way I look at it, under 2010, as it stands, for me, it looks okay. Patty?
Chairperson, yes, I think we're all very enthusiastic to start working and seeing things happening. But there's only 4 months left for this year. And, you know, I mean, and then another two before the end of the financial year. So I think it's quite good. Maybe the first under 2009, which I think is important that we put in, because of 2010, is prostitution. Because that, I mean, people, everybody's talking about that with regard to the 2010 cap. Maybe we can just add that. But otherwise, I'm agree with you, Jefferson, that for 2010, that looks good with regard to poverty, looking at poverty.
Welcome, Member Kekan. Welcome to the workshop. Briefly, we are just now, we're just dealing with our mandate. We'll get a copy of the proposed mandate. What we are now doing, we are trying to check whether the proposed themes or the proposed activities that we have, whether they match with the proposed amendment, with the proposed mandate of the committee. Briefly, that's where we are now. You had your hand.
Maybe just another suggestion. I understand the concern about poverty. You don't want to leave that to 2013, that it's ongoing. Maybe to put out for members to discuss and see that the principle around the committee's themes is that whichever theme is adopted is viewed from a poverty lens, as in we look at violence, the extent to which we oversee matters pertaining to violence in the context of poverty. When we look at survival and development with respect to women and children, looking at strategies to enhance their life in the context of poverty. So we're not losing the poverty at any one place, but we're saying we're focusing on this, but this in relation to issues about poverty. Could that work?
I think it's a clever idea. Then you're covered. Youth, you're covered. Your poverty is not left out. Your mind?
Why do we come up with strategies at 2011 for poverty? Why not in 2010 so that we can implement some other along that way?
I think what she's actually saying is that she's going to link poverty even in 2010 along all these proposed themes. Is that what you're saying? So it does not wait for 2010. I mean for 2011. It is going to be linked to 2010 as well.
I just want to support what you said there. Why don't we just put the... I'm sorry if I've got a very loud voice, but I don't like to shout. Okay, poverty. I was just wondering whether we couldn't just put that word poverty under, you know, at the top, next to child survival. I agree with what Kashifa is saying about using it through the lens, but just to make it absolutely clear, I think just the one word, not the whole lot, because we can't overload ourselves. But the other thing I would like to support what Patty was saying about trafficking and 2010 coming up. I think we must link trafficking and prostitution or the decriminalization of prostitution. I think that's a very hot topical issue at the moment, and we've got to be prepared for what is coming in 2010. I have heard that there are measures in place and so on, but this is one of those cross-cutting things. You know, I have heard about Russian women being imported already,
yes.
And, you know, we've got to start being the watchdog ourselves. We can't just leave it to criminal justice or police or whoever it is. So I think that one must be highlighted and be brought forward.
2010.
2009, if we can just... Yeah, add trafficking and prostitution.
it or not.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to know, just because I'm trying to catch up, the prostitution one, what are we saying about it? I know we're saying we should watch, but the argument is decriminalization. Are we legalizing or not?
Can you elaborate on your point?
Okay.
Oh, that is a hot topic. I don't think it's one we're going to solve, but I think it's something we need to work on and all the parties need to work on, and I certainly know the gender bodies are talking and thinking, and I think we need to be part of it. How are we going to deal with human rights?
And I think we jumped into your mouth. You were not yet through. Can you finish?
Yeah, no, I was just saying because the debate is more there in public or radio. I mean, people are saying, when the, you know, when we applied for this, for example, when we applied for Olympics, we were told we are not ready. We can't have Olympics. When they spoke about readiness, I felt they were referring to hotels, infrastructure, restaurants, all those. Underneath, they were also talking about this because it's strong. This guy said, if you come to South Africa, part of the entertainment industry is not just watching this thing, you also want, somebody said, do you want soccer, do you want sex? They said both. Now, the point I'm making is that this is the reality of the world we're living in. If we want this type of things, we must know they've legalized in Britain, in Germany, even in Italy, where there's the Roman Catholic Church. I don't know why it's allowed. And when we keep on saying, no, it's immoral, our priest says it's immoral, the head office of the Roman Catholic Church in Italy has legalized. The head office of the Anglican Church in Britain has legalized. The head office of the Dutch Reformed Church and the Lutheran in Holland has legalized. Apostolic churches in America have allowed it to happen. Now, I'm just saying, while we're talking morals, and people who think they've taught us those morals have legalized, they look at us and say, oh, they think they are better, we have taught them. Now, the point I'm making is these things are a reality. In fact, prostitution is an industry. When they say they are creating jobs in Europe and America, they even mean prostitution. Girls, if you are beautiful and young, and why should you starve while you've got bodies to sell? In any case, as you know, Marxism say labor is a commodity. You sell. If you are working, you're already selling your labor. So for them, if you can sell labor, why not sell your sex? Why go hungry if you've got it? So I'm just asking that, look, these are the hard facts of the reality of the life that you're living in. What are we saying? While the people who are our standard bearers, who are said to be first world, developed and civilized people are doing it, and we kind of following in their footsteps, what's going to happen? What are we saying about it? That's why I'm asking this question. Because they say if you legalize it, at least they'll be checked. Whether you like it or not, they are there in the street. If they are not checked by doctors, you're going to spread AIDS all over the world. So I'm just saying this is their reality. And this is what affects us because we are following in their footsteps. I mean, third world, we are following first world. And if you want things like World Cup, we're going to import this type of morals because they're already doing it. It's an industry. It creates jobs for their young girls, as they say. And ultimately, it impacts on us. So ultimately, we must take a position. And not just watch, but take a position.
Thank you, Kekana. But I think what the member was just, you know, adding to the program, she was just arming us. We are not yet dealing with the issue of prostitution.
Yeah.
When the time comes, we will deal with it. We are not saying whether we should legalize it or not, but she was just putting it as a topic to be looked into.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
And you know, it becomes such a sensitive issue. Especially to us as women, because we are the sellers. You know, it's very sensitive.
What we don't have under violence is the issue of the ukatwala, because we got abuse and neglect there. and that is part of abuse and neglect. So I feel that we should put down the word ukatwala, because that is, it will fall in with kidnapping. You know, you have our violence and socially vulnerable groups. Because we have to just put it under abuse and neglect. Because I think it's something that's very prominent within the Eastern Cape.
Okay. You know, I don't know, but perhaps even if we don't put it, it's covered under violence, under abuse, it's covered. Because that is not the only abuse. It's just that we happen to talk so much about it now. You get it, like you get it, and I told you before that you get it in some of the churches. They do it to just arrange marriages and all that with young girls. They do it. So let's not put it. It's covered under abuse. It should be part of it. That's my suggestion.
Thank you, Jay. I agree with you.
What did we say? Did we say after linking the activities to our mandate, and then what next? Are we there? Have we exhausted this one, the issue of the activities? Do we feel they match with our mandate?
Yes. Chairperson, maybe just to help around the activities. There are five things that the members need to ask themselves when you look at these themes. Do all the themes cover issues around which issue you're going to have oversight on? Were you going to call in terms of departments? In terms of legislation, within these themes, have you identified which legislation you're going to pass, consider, or initiate? Which legislation do you want to look at? Which are the ones that you want to implement? In terms of public participation across the themes, are there opportunities which you think you want to host a public participation initiative? And in terms of international treaties, where in these themes have you identified which treaties are you going to look at? So that takes you back to the five key functions around Parliament: oversight, legislation, public participation, and international treaties.
I think on the issue of legislation, I think there's one very prominent legislation that we need to work on. That is the Domestic Violence Act. It doesn't seem to be implemented. So that would be one of the legislation that we should target. Members can come up with would we say that the Child Support Grant Act, is it implemented well? Members,
that is a priority, Chair. Yes, definitely. Maintenance is not paid. Fathers are not taking responsibility for the children that they create. That's something we should come out strongly as part of this Women's Month right now and into the future.
And then the other thing, too, that social development is not coming out clearly with is the implementation of the Child's Act. Because look at that, it's in place for the last 3 years. And the Children's Act, yeah, for the last 3 years. And I'm not 100% sure if there is a budget for it, although the minister did say they're going to start now with it.
But I think we should look at that one too. And then there's the justice.
Careful not to take too much. Don't bite more than we can chew. I would say let's take the Maintenance Act, the domestic violence, and the last one you spoke about. No.
The Children's
Act.
Kiki, National Youth Development Agency Act. That's the youth one. Yeah, because youth, if we go according to our mandate, it falls under us. So it's the National Youth Development Agency Act.
Yeah, I think let's take that one. So Vicky will be in a position also to monitor it very closely. Okay, so in terms of legislation, we are covered. Okay? With violence, maintenance, Children's Act, and the National Youth Agency.
See, just to highlight, in last year, the JMC made a submission to the Portfolio Committee on Justice on the Traditional Courts Bill. I think we just need to follow up also where that process is and what justice is busy doing with regards, because there was talk of having joint public hearings, perhaps for this committee as well. So maybe just to park that one as well, the traditional courts bill, as something, if it does come within this year, still something that the committee needs to look at as well.
Yeah. Let us look at the... So in terms of legislation, we are covered. Let us look whether we cover the issue of public participation. Can we look at that? Our program covers the issue of public participation. Does it? Doesn't look like. So do we edit? Robinson?
Not quite clear. Were you asking on what we should still have public participation? Because I think if we do, then we would need to include that with the trafficking and prostitution. That's a highly emotive issue. And people are talking about it as well. So we would need to listen to what the people say in order to guide us.
Some of the work of the researchers here, the prevention and combating of traffic in persons bill, it looks like it's coming up. So that will be our public participation then. They got your prevention and combating of trafficking in persons bill. And I see as another one. No, I'm just looking at certain things of previous work they gave us. So they got their prevention and combating of trafficking in persons bill. It will be considered in this period. Yes, yeah. It supports what you are saying.
I think if you look at the issues, they're one of two ways. As Honourable Robinson and Malchus indicated, the public participation through legislation, that's when public hearings happen, right? But at the moment, justice, Portfolio actually hasn't dealt with trafficking legislation. Cabinet had said it's something that has to be sent to Parliament, and then speakers got to decide which committee would be responsible. Okay, so that's when the legislation is introduced, but that doesn't stop the committee from saying we are keen to have a session in which we invite civil society to talk on these issues. We'd like to hear and engage with civil society the extent to which this is an issue and what are the problems. So there's one of two things around the public participation, around the legislation when the legislation is here, or by the owners of the committee itself saying, we want to have, this is an issue, we invite civil society to talk to us. So if we use the second route as inviting civil society, then the committee has the discretion at any one point in time to look at how it can do that initiative. For example, if you think around issues pertaining to children and disability, one of the things which was never done was a disability summit. Nor was there ever, I mean, the last time Parliament hosted an initiative around abuse and neglect was Honourable Saluji when he was still alive. That's when we're looking about 8 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago, where there was an opportunity in which NGOs came to Parliament and said, well, actually, on grassroots level, these are the problems we are experiencing. So that's, again, where the committee can decide we want to host a two-day public participation initiative around this subject and invite civil society to come. So the legislation is a given. That's definitely where we're going to have public hearings. But the committee can still decide, with all these issues, where would we proactively want to take the time and invite civil society, academia, and research to come in and talk to us. So against all these themes, my suggestion is, one, it's a disability summit. Two, there's transport hearings. Three, if you look at the priorities set out by government's program of action, there's something around unemployment, there's something around education, and there's something around land agrarian reform. But also, there's the new ministry. I mean, yes, the minister has indicated that there's been opportunities for dialogue, but we actually haven't heard from civil society what they've had to say about the gender machinery, what do they have to say about the children's machinery and about the youth machinery and the disability machinery. So that's where the committee can get first-hand experience from civil society across the board to come and talk to you and say, well, actually, this is what we feel is most important. So that's just my suggestions. Thank you.
I think we have been given the options that we could take. In my view, I think, why don't we take the option of inviting a civil society and getting their feel? What do we think? Should we take that route? But then we will decide as a committee as to which, but just generally, let's say, inviting civil society to hear from them. Then we will decide which groups we'll be targeting. What did you say the third one was? We had five. So we've dealt with legislation, we've dealt with public participation. What is the third one? Treaties. Okay. I think we are a bit crippled by the fact that one has also not gone through some of the treaties. I don't know whether some of you have. I also haven't, to be honest. Yeah. Just give us a slight background on the treaties that we have agreed on.
In terms of gender issues, there's CEDAW, the Convention on Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination. So we've submitted a country report, a combined second, third, and fourth country report. So we're still awaiting feedback. So it will be important once that comes back to see what the recommendations are from the CEDAW committee in terms of South Africa's progress. And then there's the SADC protocol on gender and development, which we signed last year, but it still needs to be ratified. So that's also, I mean, that's in, we can put that as something that the committee needs to look at in terms of international agreements, the ratification of the SADC gender protocol.
And then in terms of the other target groups, we have the UNCRC, that's the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. We're 10 years late in terms of reporting, 10 years. The last time the presidency and foreign affairs actually gave a report on how South Africa is doing was in 2000. At the moment, the second country report and the third one has been written. It has yet to go to cabinet, and then it must still go to the United Nations. But there, the committee has a crucial role to play to interrogate that report. What government saying about what we're doing about children. Regionally, there's the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child. We've never, ever submitted a report. That's problematic. And I mean, at an AU level, there are members who sit on various forums. In terms of disability, the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability, our first country report is due in 2010. Plus, South Africa is a pilot country to decide and look at how we domesticate the treaty into our legislation. So before 2010, next year, again the committee has the opportunity to call in the presidency and say, well, let us see the report, how far have you come, what's put in terms of legislation. And then the last one for youth is the African Youth Charter. We are signatory to, we have yet to ratify. But there again, that's at the AU level. So just the four, it's the UNCRC for children, the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of Children. For disability, it's the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability. And then for youth, the African Youth Charter. So there's four. That's Crystal's, one on CEDAW, and the ratification of the CEDAW protocol, which makes six.
Just tell me, just for information's sake. What causes parliament or committees to not adhere to treaties? What is the reason for that?
Within the previous Office on the Rights of the Child, there have been various structural constraints. For example, there was a long time in which they didn't have deputy directors or chief director, which means the person responsible for ensuring that everything comes together wasn't there. So it kept being postponed from one year to the next. And that's the importance going back to the role of a committee in Parliament saying, why is it that we need to have hot bodies in the executive to undertake things with resources? The second thing is Parliament does have a role when it comes to overseeing what goes into the report. As in interrogate, we can't veto what needs to be changed, but we can question what is in because of the separation of powers. We don't write the report. And then, but we can call up foreign affairs and the presidency and say, this is our mandate. You are responsible for reporting to us. Report. But because that's not done and there's no follow-up, the presidency can and the executive can carry on doing or not doing. It's again our role along with the committee to make sure that we hold people to account, and no one's going to do that until we do, because the response from civil society has also been they can't do a shadow report, in other words, a report based on their own experiences until government comes up with a report. But government can't come up with a report on time until Parliament ensures that we hold those people to account for actually producing the report. So it's kind of a combination of issues. You need to have people in the executive to write the report. And then on our side, that once they've written the report, we must demand that they table, that report comes to us for us to interrogate. And if it's late, we need to demand from all the powers that be why this report is late. And that hasn't yet happened within Parliament.
No.
could we perhaps do it this way? Seeing that we need to have these reports, where you as chairperson, ask your committee secretary to write to the, I think, the presidency, and say we would like to have a report on these things that's urgent. Then we can go through, and then go through them. And there's just a question that I want to ask the researchers. When it comes to these protocols, for example, I'm going to take the SADC one that was passed last year. When there are shortcomings within these protocols, are we allowed to make an input? Because I know when it comes to SADC, there is a gap when it comes to domestic violence. You know, for example, like marital rape that makes women vulnerable to HIV and AIDS. You know, things like that. Because I actually say we are not vetoed to do something. So I would like to just ask that question. But I'm serious on the first one where, you know, we ask them to bring these reports and let us just go through it. And then the researchers will help us how to do them because it's something new to me too. Thank you.
Okay, we'll make a follow-up on that one. Let's try and get the reports from the presidency. Sit down and we can interrogate the report.
No, I think all I want to see signed, we're saying we accept what's in there. I think it's at the discretion of the country when the country report is submitted to maybe say that there's a shortcoming, but we can't change, physically make additions to the international protocol, the regional protocols. We can't.
Sometimes it becomes a problem when it comes to these churches. We become signatories and then we don't adhere. Yeah, it's a bit of a problem. We've exhausted the one or two teeth. Researchers will capture that for us. What is the fourth one? We've done three. What is the fourth? I can't hear you.
Oversight.
Let's check on our program on the issue of oversight, whether we are covered. We must be. Mm-hmm. You say we are covered. Hmm? I think we are covered on oversight. That's our main one.
Requesting these reports will be very good because it shows that we are now taking action. We're not just, a hollow body. So I think we're taking that seriously, and that's going to be a good signal to send out.
Chairperson, you know, when I look at the three, we are just as monitoring, evaluating, implementation, and we're overseeing. There we speak about legislation. If you go to the next, it will be budget. We'll see where the budget is attached to it within the ministry. And when it comes to transversal function, and we will hold executive structures that are responsible for improving accountable. So I think we got everything here.
Fifth one? Or is the last one?
I think the last one was international study tours.
Was that the last one?
Did we entertain the one of appropriate budgets?
Can I say something? We just spoke to appropriate budget. Because we have to see when we oversight that appropriate budget is allocated to this. Within the department that we're oversighting internally, and also when it comes to the transversal function. That's the only thing we can say. Because if you look at the budget already that is in this document, I don't seem adequate at all.
Chair, I think we're going to have to start working towards the MTEF process, and this is where we've got to start working towards it and get in extra help for us, and that's where I suggested the FSC might come in. I think that's it. It's not just what is already there, but what we are putting forward for ourselves and within the department so that they become aware of the gender bias. Just learning the lessons from the previous JMCs, they were saying because they never discussed that and budgeted for that or linked it to what they were doing, it never happened. And they were saying it was one of those lost opportunities. So across the 5 years, not really. But it was about on the committee being proactive. And I think from what Honourable Vapela was saying, in terms of the document that Nelisa has circulated to members around committee programs and times, that if possible, you'd perhaps look at maybe one at least, international study tour for across the 5 years. So one opportunity in which you can go abroad and learn via best practice. From that document, Ayanda, I think they were saying 2 local oversight visits per annum, per year. That's a little.
Is that enough? 2 local ones. It is somewhere in the documents. I think I did see that. In the meantime, that's what we could do. Yeah, that it's recommended that the 5-year program should include 2 committee meetings outside Parliament annually, as well, 2 overseas study visits that are relevant to the committee's work during the first. So it's 2, it's not 1. 2 local oversight visits. I don't even understand why they have 2 overseas and 2 local. I would have thought the local would be a bit more. 2 local oversights per year. That's what the oversight work. Okay. On this one, I think what we would do, we would ask the researchers to check for some of the best practices in these other countries, and then you come up with something to us and we will see. I don't think we just choose the way we want to choose. We must choose for a purpose. Robinson.
I was thinking about a visit to the United Nations because there seem to have been things that have been started there that not have been cemented or ratified. So then I think we should consider that anyway as one of the visits or an additional one.
That's a suggestion, but you'll still have time to look at that. Other suggestions? Now, let's say...
That we have in Sweden, because the Eastern Cape went to Sweden for the best practices, and then they say New Zealand too, you know, as the minister, New Zealand and Australia. But I like the one of the United Nations. That will be very interesting.
You'll do the test for us and then you'll come back and we'll talk about it. And how are we doing on time? Our manager? No, we've cancelled the 5 o'clock thing now. Members, let's deal with the outcomes of our program.
Chairperson, can I suggest that if we go with 2009, given that we have probably 3 months left between 6 to 10 committee meetings for this year, what is it that we hope to achieve, and then follow through, and that in terms of outcomes, we can stick to the 5 functions. So, yeah, in terms of oversight, what do we hope to achieve? In terms of legislation, in terms of public participation, yes, I'll go through the list. And maybe for each year it could be different, but for this year, because it's so short, our outcomes would be different as compared to all the other years.
Let's deal with the outcomes, Marcus. Robinson? Just for the short, just for so we say from now to end of this financial year. What are we expecting?
A last discussion on public participation. You were saying one of the means or activities that will happen there, it will be public debates where civil society is engaged on topical issues. And one other point was trips, both local and overseas. Those are the points that I've captured under that. Then we're saying... What public participation outcomes do we hope to have out of doing those activities? I think it can be difficult like that. Okay. Maybe let me take one item at a time. Out of engaging the civil society on topical issues that we are yet to decide, what outcome do we want by engaging in such an activity?
think we want to hear what the people say to give us direction, and then we've got to apply our minds and to give ourselves the, well, the direction in which we're going to go in view of legislation or problems that exist. So it's going to help us to do something, to make a change, to improve the situation where there has perhaps been nothing happening in the past.
Just to check whether the legislation that we pass here in Parliament, does it suit the people or not? That's one of the outcomes we would want to see.
And then
The impact that it has on people and whether it really changes their lives. Because they say from action comes change. I think that should be our outcome. As I'm just rounded it off to the two of you.
I think that's the implementation.
The outcomes, the main thing that we would want to see. It's the change of the improvement and the quality of this group. In short, that's what we want to see.
Yes, Jefferson, I mean, if I must now, point out one, for instance, if we're going to have the Disability Summit, going to use that as public participation, and there are various issues that we can raise. And one, for instance, that I feel very passionate about is sign language, which can, at the end we can look, bring that, or I don't know whether there is a new piece of legislation, bring that into schools. The outcome that we would want there is that that is a concern for the disabled, sign language. They really want this to be introduced to schools, and this could be a major thing for us that we can promote, whereby giving people the opportunity to talk about that. So the outcome of the Disability Summit, that is just one part of it, and there's others. But I'm just throwing that in. Yes, I'm just making an example because I would love to see that we actually do that.
Thank you. Another one I think is very important from the disability sector is to improve on accessibility, particularly with 2010 coming on board. There are going to be many people with disabilities who are going to want to come here, and while some of the new facilities have got the right ramps and the right facilities, not all have. We've got to think of toilets. That's something that's very important. So I think if we can get that out, transport, the toilets, the accessibility to facilities for the 2010, but also just generally in our municipal buildings and so on, I think that's one we must highlight.
I think that's one of the outcomes would be accessibility to the
just to summarize then, if I may, so in terms of an outcome, it's to provide a platform for civil society to raise their concerns, and in civil society we refer to the target groups, to determine from civil society accessibility of services, because I think that would capture a range of things. I think somehow to reword, something about hearing what civil society say and using that as a means to direct us in looking at our content with regards to program and implementation of legislation. Maybe that needs to change a bit. Secondly, to determine the impact of legislation in terms of impacting on the lives of the target group. And to determine the effectiveness of legislation. And that captures Chairperson's comment as, does the legislation suit the person? So just the four again. One, the actual outcome is to provide the platform, so the space to speak. Two, to be guided or to hear from civil society what their key concerns are and use the information to assist us to improve. Yeah. Thirdly, is to determine the impact of the legislation. I think that's it. That's three. I've identified three now. The actual platform, using the information to direct us in terms of our work, and three, to determine the impact of the legislation. And to determine the accessibility of services for target groups. So does that speak enough to an outcome of the public participation initiative?
Yes, it does. Probably in some instances we may want to look at how, I must apologize, I'm influenced by our Bible, the Constitution. I'd like to, like,